you're from the end of our series on the truth, taking us all the way back to the beginning. Remember this from John 18, verse 37. Jesus said, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Consider that for a moment. Let me paraphrase it this way if I can. If you're going to be on the side of truth, you're going to have to be on Jesus' side. That's where the truth is, with Him. Leave Him and you leave the truth. Disobey Him. Listen, go against Him. Go against His way and you go against the truth. You embrace the lie. And let me say it the other way as well, especially or equally true, I believe. If you're going to be on Jesus' side, if you're going to live in and with Him, then you're going to have to be on the side of truth. You can't embrace the lie and Him at the same time. You can't live in the lie and in Him at the same time. You just can't. Pilate hears it. He recognizes it, as hopefully we do as well. What Jesus has just said about truth, oh, it's powerful and oh, so important. No wonder then his response, what is truth? An important question to consider for sure. In truth, Jesus has already answered the question. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, he said. So do you understand? Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. For the year we've devoted ourselves to the pursuit of truth. Ultimately, what we've really done, we've devoted ourselves to the pursuit of Jesus. And what he says, the very clearly stated truth statements of his word. All these Sundays, that's been the message for us. It's been what's been spoken, what's been heard in this room nearly every Sunday morning. And besides just the message preached by way of our homework, it's been the truth that's been shared with one another. The truth that's been heard because it's been shared by our church family. This last week from a brother in the church, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31, this God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. It's the truth. His way is perfect. Listen, you don't understand His way in your life right now. I don't mean to sound flippant, but my brother, my sister, don't worry about what you don't understand. Embrace instead what's clear. Embrace instead the truth. Listen, His way is perfect. His way in your life, His way for your life is perfect. His word is true, and He is a shield for you. Another truth shared this time by one of the sisters in the church family, Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. This poor man called, verse 6, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't you know that to be the truth? The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him, listen, the truth, lack nothing. It's the truth. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. Listen, the truth now. Verse 19, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The Lord redeems His servants. Verse 22. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in Him. Wow, how wonderful all that truth, right? Because of it, no wonder this, how the psalm begins. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Listen, this morning, you hear the truth from your brother, from your sister in the church family. Believe that truth and live in it. Maybe best to begin that by doing what the psalm instructs us to do. We bless the Lord. We let His praise be that that's on our lips. We boast in Him. We glorify Him. We exalt His name together. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for His truth this morning, don't we? And thank you, brothers and sisters, for doing your homework. Still a few weeks left for the year, a few weeks for you to do your homework and share the truth with us, what has blessed you, so that we might in turn be blessed by it as well. Both of the last two Sundays, the first two Sundays of our missions month of November here at New Life, both Sundays, both messages really sort of served a dual purpose. We were concluding our end times series, The Truth, The Day of the Lord Will Come. And we were beginning our month of missions. Again, both Sundays, both messages, we shared missions in the context of end times. Very specifically, we shared missions in the context of judgment and eternity. This morning, it's missions in the context of stewardship. Stewardship is about managing all that God has given to us. Immediately, then, that presents the question to us, to each of us. All that God has given to you, all the time, all the talent, all the treasure, all the opportunity, all the promptings of the Spirit in that moment, at the grocery store, at the work, with the neighbor, with the family member, all the promptings of the Spirit to speak life, to encourage, to help, to share, to give, to be kind, to be involved, all the instruction from His Word, all the empowering, all the enabling and equipping, all the grace, all the mercy, all the blessing, and on and on and on the list would go, right? All that God has given to you, the question, what have you done with that? How have you managed that? Have you been a good steward of those things? Like me, do you recognize I haven't always? What God gave to me, what God put in my care, my stewardship responsibilities with and over those things, I was a poor steward. I mismanaged too much and too often. One says this, stewardship isn't a subcategory of the Christian life. Stewardship is the Christian life. After all, what is stewardship except that God has entrusted to us life, time, talent, money, possessions, family, and His grace. In each case, He evaluates how we regard what He has entrusted to us and what we do with it. This morning, ultimately, my prayer for you, my brother, for you, my sister, for me, that the Lord, by His Spirit, help us to be better Christians. We could say it that way. Help us to live better the Christian life. Help us to be and do better in missions. And all that as He simply helps us to be better stewards. I'm going to share with you just a few principles on stewardship with each one. Let me encourage you to be a good steward. And in the end, make a connection to missions. If we have any hope of doing missions right, listen, my brother, my sister, listen to me, New Life. If we're going to do missions right, we're going to have to be good stewards. So folks this morning will say it this way. Because he owns it all, be a good steward. This is where stewardship starts. This is the foundation, the center, the heart of it all. This is the fundamental, the basic, and yet primary core principle of stewardship. God is the owner of it all. And you and me, listen, not the owners, no. We're simply the managers. Hear the truth this morning. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Job 41, who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine. We get that, right? I think probably we all understand it completely. When it comes to creation, when it comes to the earth, it's God's. It belongs to him. Where we maybe struggle with the idea when it comes to us. Listen, when it comes to me, listen, my life? Now wait a minute. Is it mine or is it his? When it comes to my life, when it comes to my stuff, you notice we never say that with creation. Of course we don't. We know it's not ours. It's not my ocean. It's not my stuff. It's not my earth nor my heavens. But all of a sudden, we bring it close to home and everything changes. It's me and it's mine. Listen this morning, hear the truth. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you've received from God? Listen now. Listen, my brother, my sister, hear the truth this morning. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You understand your decision to follow Jesus was in fact your decision to surrender everything to him. You don't own anything. You don't even own yourself. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. One says it this way, without our God, we would be bankrupt corpses. All that we have is his. We are born into this world with our hands empty, and when we leave this world, we take nothing with us. God owns it all. The great minister John Wesley said this, when the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, he placed you here not as an owner, but rather a steward. Still one more. You've been given one main task. To be a good steward of what he has entrusted to you. Nothing less, nothing more. God owns it all. All that you have, all that I have, it belongs to him. I know we know that. I know we know to say that. To be honest, I'm not sure any of us live very well in the reality of that. All that you have, it belongs to him. Every hour, every minute, every second of your day, it belongs to him. Everything you possess, it belongs to him. Every talent, every gifting you have, it belongs to him. Whatever it is in your life, you can catalog it all. There would be something to have, something to own, something to possess, something that is yours, something that belongs to you. In fact, it doesn't. It belongs to him. All of it. It's his. Listen, that's the truth of Scripture this morning. And listen, we'll never be good stewards. We'll never be able to handle and manage the things of God until we have internalized the reality of that. It's his. Everything that I have, in fact, it's not mine at all. It belongs to him. He's the owner. I'm the steward. My brother, my sister, listen, embrace that truth this morning. Hear it, believe it, live in it. Listen, live humbly before Him and even others as well. It's not you and yours. You're just the steward of what He's given you. Live in gratitude before Him. Live in joy and thanksgiving, all that He's given to you. You think it's yours. You think you earned it. You deserved it. You think you worked for it, paid for it. No. Anything you have, all that you have, it all goes back to Him. He's given it. He's the owner. You're the steward. Listen, be a good steward. Thank the owner daily for all that He's given to you. Listen, full disclosure. Can I just be honest? Real talk this morning. Stop complaining all the time to the owner what He hasn't given to you. And instead begin to thank Him for all that He has given to you. Do you understand? He's the owner. He didn't have to give you anything. But look at you and your life and all that He has given to you. We dare not be complainers. The mumblers and grumblers that we find of God's people in the Old Testament, that more often than not got them in all kinds of trouble. We see a people full of gratitude and thanksgiving. We thank the owner daily. God, I thank you. Owner, I thank you. The breath that I breathe, it's not mine. It's yours. You've given it to me. The car that I drive, I'm not sure it's actually going to get me home. That's your car. You're the owner. I'm just a steward. I thank you for this that you've given to me. I thank you for this family that is mine, this family that you've given to me, this family that you've blessed me with. You're the owner. I'm just a steward. God, I thank you for this. I thank you. We thank Him and encourage you as well. Live in faith and confidence. Listen, why so worried about that thing, my brother, my sister? It's not yours. It's His. And He'll take care of what's His. Do you understand? Listen, I speak freedom and life to you today. I pray you take hold of it. Listen, your pastor has maybe need to be fired this morning, but if your furnace goes out, that's altogether different if my furnace goes out. I love you. I appreciate you. I pray well for you. But that's your furnace. That's your problem. You understand? I speak freedom today over you. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen, literally be the truth for you. That's not your furnace. That's His. So why so worried? That's His to take care of. And don't you understand? And He will take care of that that belongs to Him. Second, this morning, we'll say it this way. For the fulfillment of your divine and eternal purpose, be a good steward. For the fulfillment of your divine and eternal purpose, be a good steward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we work together with God. That's stewardship. Not just an understanding that it all belongs to Him, but really as well that it's all for Him. Everything that you have, everything I have, it's not ours at all. It belongs to Him. He is the owner. I'm the steward. You are as well. But that follows up with this. The further understanding, if you will, not just that you have what you have because He's given it, but that you have what you have because He's given it to you for a purpose. That you might work together with Him. One says it this way. Stewardship is partnership with God. You understand that it's all His. Yes, yes you do. Great. It's the first thing related to stewardship. But it's not the only thing. So now, do you understand that all you have, all that He's given to you, there's a divine and eternal purpose attached to it. One says it this way. In essence, stewardship defines our purpose in this world as assigned to us by God Himself. Listen now. stewardship. It's our divinely given opportunity to join with God in His worldwide and eternal redemptive movement. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, you understand? Stewardship is the recognition that what you have has been given to you by God. He's the owner. You're the steward. And to now be a good and responsible steward, you use what is His. You use what He has given to you to do the good works that He's prepared for you. Listen, can I challenge you this morning? You're God's workmanship. You are. Yes, you, my brother. Yes, you, my sister. You think you don't matter. You think you can't do anything. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not creative enough. Listen, hear me this morning. Enough with the lies. The purpose of our series, enough with the lies. You are God's workmanship. You have been saved to serve. Created in Christ Jesus to do good. To do good works. I know, but you're not the pastor. And we all know in the church, it's only the pastor that does the good stuff, right? I know, but you're not a good speaker. You don't sing well. And again, we all know in the church, it's only those that are good speakers and good singers that do the good work, right? You have been saved to serve, created in Christ to do the good. But I'm not super creative. Nothing that is my specialty, nothing that I can do, but that someone else could certainly do it better. I know, saved to serve, I get it, but I just don't have a lot. No real means to help out in any sort of substantial and significant kind of way. Saved to serve, I know, I get it, but I'm not very smart. No theologian for sure, hardly know much of Scripture at all. In fact, saved to serve, I know, I get it, but I'm so busy. So busy. Listen, some of you this morning, I don't say it to sound rude or mean, you need to stop with that nonsense. You need to hear the truth. You've been saved so that you might serve. Created in Christ to do good works. You understand, the only way we fulfill that divine and eternal purpose is by rightly stewarding what God has given to us. I believe that it's the only truly good work, in fact, when you rightly steward what God has given to you in order to do the work that God has purposed for you. Listen, my brother, my sister, be a good steward. What He's given you, yes, it is your being a good steward to recognize, to live in the reality of that. With that, though, also this, use what is His, all that He's given to you, to do the good works that He's prepared for you. Be a good steward that way. I think ultimately always the good work is for the purpose of God's kingdom and God's glory. In that sense, then, if we're going to be good stewards, everything that He's given to us, we surrender it all to Him so that His kingdom might advance and so that He might be glorified. We read it a moment ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Listen again, the truth. You do not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So, glorify God in your body. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give Father who's in heaven. The great missionary David Livingstone said, I place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. Another says this, stewardship is managing God's treasures in God's way, for God's purposes, and always for God's glory. One of the synonyms of steward is servant. My brother, my sister, be a good steward, be a good servant. Serve him, his kingdom, his church, his family. Your Lord has commanded of you, do a good work. My brother, my sister, be a good servant. Do the good work. Serve him, his plans, his purposes. Serve him so that he might be glorified in you and through you. Serve him so that his name and his fame might be known throughout all the earth. Serve him and serve him well. Be a good servant. Be a good steward. Stewardship is faithfulness. Be a good steward. Listen, my brother, my sister, be faithful. Be faithful in all that is his, that he's given to you. Put in and under your care, be faithful with that. Do his good work with that. Glorify him through that. Be faithful in witness. Be faithful in ministry. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in service. Be faithful in family. Be faithful with friends. Be faithful in relationship and fellowship. Listen, the people that God has put in your life, listen, for divine and eternal purposes, they're in your life. Be a good steward of that. Be faithful in and with those relationships. Be faithful in trial and trouble, persecution and suffering. Listen, never let the circumstances of your life, never, never, ever, let the circumstances of your life compromise your testimony of the goodness of the Lord. No matter what you're going through, may you always let his kingdom be advanced. May you always be a conduit by which his kingdom can be advanced. May he always get glory from you. Be faithful in your testimony. Be prepared in season and out. Be prepared all the time. Be faithful in every prompting of the Holy Spirit upon you, your life. Be faithful in with every opportunity that he gives. Be a good steward, my brother, my sister. Be a servant. Be faithful. Listen. Be a faithful servant to your Lord. Be a good steward. Before we move on, can I caution you here? One says this, what we do not use, we ultimately lose. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus speaks ultimately of Israel's rejection of God, their very own Messiah. He says it this way, to Israel, God gave a vineyard, but they were poor stewards. Bad servants, unfaithful. And so God took the vineyard away. Listen, rejection and replacement is always the end result for those that would be poor, unfaithful stewards. It was for Israel, it would be for us as well. You understand? If we are unfaithful, if we're bad servants, if we're poor stewards, he will take from us, listen, my brother, he will take from you. My sister, he will take from you. New life, listen to me this morning. He will take from us our divine and eternal purpose, and he will give it to another. You understand how horrible the thought of that, right? Listen, we dare not be unfaithful servants, poor stewards. No, no way. We make it our prayer instead. Lord, don't take anything away. I pray it for you, my brother. Lord, don't take anything away from my brother, my sister. Lord, don't take anything away. I pray it, you pray it, we pray it together. Lord, please, take anything away from new life. Help us to be, make us to be instead better servants, better stewards. Finally this morning, we'll say it like this. So that your eternity might be one of reward. Be a good steward. So that your eternity might be one of reward. Be a good steward. One says this, it is a solemn and holy truth of Scripture that on the day of final judgment, every person will give an account to God for his or her actions and the stewardship of life. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the master who owned everything, put what he owned under the care of his servants. He was the owner. They were the stewards. The master left, but then he returned, and when he did, he settled accounts with his servants. He made them to give an account what they had done with what he owned. He made them to give an account of how well they stewarded what was put in and under their care. Listen, my brother, my sister, the truth this morning, the master is soon to return. And when he does, he's going to find you. And he's going to settle accounts with you. All he's given to you, he's going to ask, what did you do with that? What good work did you do with all that? How did you use that for your enjoyment, for your betterment of your life, maybe? But ultimately, how did you use that so that my kingdom grew? How did you use that so that my name was glorified? He's going to find you, my friend. He's going to find you, my brother, my sister, the master who is soon to return. He's going to find you where you are good and faithful and wise servant. Doing all that I wanted you to do with all that I gave to you. How did it work? And all that I left you to do, were you a good steward of it all? And your response, really better to say, the evidence presented by way of your life on that day of accounting, as it were, it's going to be what determines for you and for me whether that day is a day of reward or the loss. You understand, my brother, my sister, listen, for that day, so that that day may be one of reward for you and for me, be a good steward. Let me remind you of this, how you best prepare yourself for that day, how you best live your life for that day. Listen, how you best be the best steward. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along. Bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. You know this. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life. The still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep faithful and true, whatever the strife pleasing thee in my daily life. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. As we conclude this morning, the message is one of missions. It's the mission, my brother, my sister. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, we read it already. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, my brother, my sister, be reminded the mission this morning. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Be reminded of the mission this morning, my brother, my sister, you, we together as a church family, we are Christ's ambassadors, and so God, we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, be reminded of the mission. My brother, my sister, new life, listen. Hear the mission again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. That, the mission, and that, all that, is really all about stewardship. Listen, be a good steward. It's the only way you'll ever be salt and light. Be a good steward, my brother, my sister, listen. Be a good steward so that you can be a city on a hill. Be a good steward so that others can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you understand? That's the mission. The only way we accomplish the mission, be a good steward. Be a good steward so that you can be a part. Listen, my brother, my sister, don't not be a part. I would always caution you as your pastor, be careful of whoever wants to step into your life and tell you what God's will is for your life. That being said, on the authority of God's word, I'm going to tell you what God's will for your life is. Have a part. Play a part. And disciples being made over all the earth. And the way that you do that, be a good steward. Be a good steward of all that you have, every opportunity you're given, every resource that you have. Listen, be a good steward of every moment on your calendar. Be a good steward of every relationship. Be a good steward of every line item in your checkbook. Be a good steward with all that he has entrusted to you and to your care. Be a good steward so that you can be his witness, so that you can be his ambassador, so that others can be reconciled to God. We finish where we begin this morning. Stewardship is a subcategory of the Christian life. Stewardship is the Christian life. So this morning we pray, Lord, help us that we might live better Christian lives, that we might be and do better, being salt and light, witnesses in all the earth, ambassadors, imploring all that we would be on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Lord, help us that we might live better the Christian life. Lord, help us that we might be and do better in missions. Lord, help us that we might be better stewards. Father, I pray this morning that you would do exactly that. I would believe it this morning, even with absolute certainty, that even, in fact, to everyone in this room, you've identified already by the voice of your Spirit areas of compromise in stewardship. We're just going to call it the way it is. Areas of our life were unfaithful servants, were bad stewards. We've not stewarded rightly nor properly that thing. I believe that already this morning we've not stewarded well the family, the relationships that you brought into our lives. In these relationships at work, in these relationships within our community, our neighborhood, our neighbor, we've not stewarded well those relationships. And some of us, by your Spirit, you speak to our hearts, and all we ever do is say no to you, to any opportunity to serve you. We just say no, and we make up all kinds of excuses. We're not good enough. We're not talented enough. We're not smart enough. We're too busy. Lord, at the end, what we're left with, the truth this morning, we're unfaithful servants. We're bad stewards. Would you help us this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I believe that the first of the Lord's help this morning would be to bring you to a place of repentance, where you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot it was all yours. I forgot everything that you give and have given. There's a divine and eternal purpose to it. I've grown sidetracked, distracted by the things of this world. I forgot there's an accounting day coming. Come on, my brother, my sister, would you repent of that this morning? Listen, full disclosure, would you repent with me this morning? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all too often playing the part of an unfaithful servant. I'm sorry for all too often being a poor steward. All that you've given to me, all that you've given to me, all that you put under my care, and I've not stewarded well. Sometimes I've not stewarded well most of it, the majority of it. I have to hunt, I have to look hard to find where I have been. Oh, good steward, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. My brother, my sister, is that your prayer this morning? Make that to be your prayer. It's where we begin today. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the poor stewardship now. Now we ask, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, I pray it for me. Help me to do better. I pray it for my brother, my sister. Help them to do better. Help us to be faithful servants. Help us to steward well what you've given to us. Help us, Jesus. Just have a moment. Let the Spirit come and minister to you. I believe that for some of you in the room, the Lord's laying on your heart an area of poor stewardship, and with that would be how you need to fix that. Listen, my brother, my sister, fix that. Let the Spirit do His work in you, not just to bring you to a place of repentance, but to bring you to a place of victory, of good stewardship this morning. Just for a moment. Just for a moment, Lord. We pray for our own lives this morning. And now we would pray, just for a moment, we would pray for this church. Come on, New Life is a church family. Pray, Lord, help us to be good stewards. Hey, New Life, listen, He's given us this community of Flushing. Would you pray that the Lord would help us to be good stewards? Every ministry, every opportunity for ministry that we have, the Lord's given that. Would you pray? Lord, help us to be good stewards. Tomorrow, there's going to be countless cars come through that parking lot. Help us to be good stewards of that opportunity to minister to those that need some groceries. Help us, Lord. Help us to be good stewards. As a church, help us to be good stewards of the calling you put on this place and on this people. Help us to be good stewards of pray that together for this church. Pray it for our own lives. We pray it for our brother, for our sister this morning. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? As under shepherd, the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the word and the will of God. Listen. The Lord bless you and keep you, my brother, my sister. Oh, how wonderful this, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be good and gracious to you. Show to you his favor. Hallelujah. Lord, do that for my brother, for my sister, for me, for my family, for this church. Show us your favor, oh God. Listen now, the Lord turn to you, remind you, help you to be a good steward, and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you.